When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Chief Quimby here, and your assignment is to listen to all the Geekcast Radio Network's podcasts.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Heavens to hilarity! This is it, sports fans, participants even. Television's greatest array of stars, Laugh Olympics, presents the round-the-world triple-team competition between the Yogi Yahooies, the Scooby-Doobies, and the Really Rottens. The players are on the field, in the stadium even. So let's get on with it. Laugh Olympics.
Hello and welcome to the 30th episode of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I am your host, Steve Juan Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Optimus Solo. Hello.
Hello.
Today we are going to be jumping back into the DeLorean for another Tooncast Beyond DeLorean Time episode with our heading set for 1977. And Laugh Olympics.
Yes. And you've brought me along, like always, for the old stuff, because I, for one, can watch the old cartoons and enjoy them.
You just have to keep getting those shots in, don't you? I seriously doubt they even listen to this
show.
That's all right.
Not all old stuff is bad, people. This being one of them that is excellent.
Yes. Why don't you give us a history lesson on Laugh Olympics?
Yes, sir. Laugh Olympics is the co-headlining segment with Scooby-Doo of the package Saturday morning cartoon series Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics. Obviously, it's produced by Hanna-Barbera, as is all Scooby-Doo-type stuff. The show was a spoof of the Olympics and the ABC television series Battle of the Network Stars, which debuted 1 year earlier. It featured 45 Hanna-Barbera characters. Yes, 45 Hanna-Barbera characters organized into the teams, the Scooby-Doobies, the Yogi Yahooies, and the Really Rottens, which would compete each week for gold, silver, and bronze medals. One season of 16 episodes was produced in 77-78, and then 8 new episodes combined with reruns for the next season. It's kind of an interesting, like most things in that era, would often get renewed under different titles and
Scooby's All-Stars, yeah.
Packaged with other stuff and all yeah. That kind of nonsense. Unlike most cartoon series produced by Hanna-Barbera in the 1970s, Laugh Olympics did not contain a laugh track. So there's a little bit of trivia for you. What do you remember about the Laughing Olympics?
I remember all the classic characters. Just seeing
45
them,
characters.
Yeah, just seeing them all on one screen at once, you know.
Something you dream about when you're a kid is seeing all your favorite yeah. characters together, and it was awesome. Plus, yeah. I'm not trying to cut you off, but the other cool thing was because they used so many, because there's 45, they were constantly doing stuff with different characters.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't see the same people all the time, so you'd almost be waiting to see your favorites.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So much fun. I love this stuff. It's just awesome.
The other really cool thing, though, is on this one is that you don't just have good against bad.
Right.
You know, you have, like, the Scooby-Doo team going against the Yogi team. And it's almost like a mind-boggling thing as a kid to be like, you almost have to choose which one of your favorite characters you have to root for.
Right. You have to pick a team.
Yeah.
That was the point. It's like, you know, this team has these characters, and we are going to be going through all the teams, and we're going to go through all 45 characters. I guarantee you that, because these characters are just awesome. Yes. But what I loved so much about this was it wasn't like Wacky Races, where Dick Dastardly was out to get everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? It wasn't so much that. It wasn't so much good against bad. It was quite, at least to my knowledge, you can correct me, and other people might correct me on the website or posts or comments or on the fan page. This was the first time we ever had animation, video game, whatever, that wasn't the actual – this is the first time animation got Olympic-type things because, you know, you have the – you have the Olympics, you know, the U.S. Olympics and all that stuff. You have that and – but this was the first time the Olympics with cartoons characters. Since then, we've had Mario and Sonic go to the Olympics. We've had other stuff – do right. Olympic stuff, but this was the first, and it was just amazing.
Well, it was amazing for a lot of different reasons. You know, the format with the Olympic style, which made it a lot different than Wacky Races. It wasn't just a race type scene, which we've seen now, you know, multiple times. It was something, again, that was somehow they found another way to make it unique, and to do a new take on this. But it, for me, it was just a combination of a lot of things, like the format where you'd get to like visit different places, different parts of the country or different parts of the world, you know, the teams going against each other. And now all of a sudden, you know, you're so used to being forced as a child to choose good versus evil. And I really think it was cool that you, like we said before, that you had a Scooby team and you had a Yogi team. So it was like, good and good, and you could really differentiate, you know, oh well, who would I like in this, you know, you're not force fed the oh like the good guys because it's good against bad. It's like, well, if this was a contest, would I be rooting for Mr. Jinx or Speed Buggy?
Right,
you know, yeah. What I mean, you know, would I be rooting for Captain Caveman or Pixie and Dixie? So I mean, I think
I forgot Pixie and Dixie were in this.
So I mean, it was really cool to have that scenario where for once you get to decide levels of the good guys and who you like more than others. So I just think it was a cool format.
Yeah, it was. So let's get into the characters. I guess we can alternate teams.
Let's go team by team here.
Yeah. I'll talk about the Scoobies.
Okay.
The Scooby Doobies, which is a bad Jay and Silent Bob reference at this point because, you know, smoking a doobie and all that. Anyway, it's the first thing I thought of when I saw this again.
You would.
The team drew mainly from the 1970s Hanna-Barbera cartoons, particularly the mystery solving series derived from Scooby Doo. Whose titular character served as the team captain. The early production art for the series showed Genie from the Genie series as Melody, Alexander, Alexandra, and Sebastian the Cat from Josie and the Pussycat series as members of the Scooby-Doobies team, but legal problems with Columbia Pictures Television's Screen Gems successor prevented it. Hanna-Barbera owned Babu, but Columbia controlled all rights to Genie's image. As a result, Babu appeared alone as a member of the Scooby-Doobies. Likewise, Archie Comics held rights to the Josie characters, and in the actual series, Genie was replaced by Hong Kong Fooey, and the Josie characters were replaced by Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels. I'm glad they were replaced. I am honestly glad, because
yeah.
I'm sorry, Josie and the fucking Pussycats do not belong in this series.
Right. So I think it was also cool that they did this where not only are they combining their characters and featuring all their different classic characters, but they're separating that by, like, generations here.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, you have all the 70s characters together, and I think that was really a cool way to do that.
Yeah. The Scooby-Doobies team consists of Scooby, Shaggy, Scooby-Dum, Dino-Mutt, Blue Falcon, Captain Caveman, Brenda Chance, who is one of the Teen Angels, Tuffy Dare and Dee Dee Skies, who are also Teen Angels, Speed Buggy, Tinker, who are from Speed Buggy, Babu from Genie, and Hong Kong Fooey. Did you have a favorite on the Scooby?
I had a couple that really kind of stood out for me. I mean, I never really watched Speed Buggy too much as a kid or Genie, so I didn't have that prior attachment to Babu, Tinker, or Speed Buggy. No, I didn't really have a prior attachment to Blue Falcon so much either, or Dino-Mutt. I think my favorite probably was Captain Caveman. I really liked Captain Caveman. Obviously, I like Scooby-Doo as the leader. You know, Hong Kong Fooey is great, but if I had to pick one that I really liked, it was Captain Caveman. Is just hilarious because he's just this, you know, just smash, Caveman smash. It's like Hulk smash here. You know, he just... he's just the caveman. I mean, he's a Neanderthal, and it's fun to watch him with all these civilized, quote-unquote, individuals.
Yeah.
How about you? Which one did you like the best?
Oh, man. I like Hong Kong. I never really had, like you, I never really had a connection to the Speed Buggy show, but I think simply from this series, I got attached to Speed Buggy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a cool, stuttering little character that they added in there because, you know, he's a car and he's sputtering along. I love Captain Caveman. I wish they didn't put Scooby Dumb in here.
He was kind of funny at times, though.
He was a little bit... I know you're probably going to disagree with me, but... and the world is probably going to disagree with me.
Don't you dare say the word.
Except maybe Laura LT Smash Thomas from This Week in Geek, but I honestly would have liked Scrappy in here better because Scrappy is the lesser of two evils when it comes to Scrappy and Scooby Dumb.
I like Dumb better.
What about the Yogi Yahooies?
Well, the Yogi Yahooies, like we said, it's kind of a generational thing. And the Yogi Yahooies were basically 1950s Hanna-Barbera and the first 2 years of 1960s, with one exception. And we'll talk about that in a second. And it's also the only team that's all anthropomorphic animals. So all right. It's all the classic animals. So you have Yogi Bear, who is the leader of the team. And then, obviously, with him, you have Boo Boo Bear and Cindy Bear.
Yeah.
Then you have Huckleberry Hound, you have Pixie and Dixie, you have Mr. Jinx, Hokey Wolf, Yakky Doodle, Quick Draw McGraw, Snooper and Blabber, Super Snooper and Blabbermouse, Oggy Doggy and Doggy Daddy, Wally Gator, Grape Ape, and Grape Ape would be the only character that was from post-1962. So all the rest came from before 1962. So it's a larger team here because with the Scooby-Doobies, you had 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I think about 13.
Mm-hmm.
And this one you have about 16 or so. So it's a slightly larger team. A lot more of the classic characters, whereas the Scooby-Doobies had that more likely to have, like you said, characters that you didn't have that attachment to.
Right.
Whereas this one, you just about know everybody. I mean, I know some people might not know, let's say, Snooper and Blabber as much as we do. You know, some people might not know Yakky Doodle or Mr. Jinx or Hokey Wolf. But if you were around in that time period when this was airing, you knew all of these characters.
Oh, yeah.
This one is a much harder one to pick a favorite character.
For me, not counting like the main big characters, my two favorites have always been simply because of the relationship with them with each other is Oggy Doggy and Doggy Daddy. I always love those two.
I love the voices of Huckleberry Hound and Quick Draw McGraw, but I agree. I love Oggy Doggy and Doggy Daddy. If I had to pick another one just for the way it's done in this series, I would probably pick either Wally Gator or Grape Ape.
Yeah.
Just because I think they're used very well in this series. Yeah. I don't think they use, you know, Yogi and Boo Boo and Cindy up to their potential, maybe. And, you know, it would be easy to say Huckleberry and Quick Draw, but outside of Oggy Doggy and Doggy Daddy, I really like what they do with Wally Gator, and Grape Ape's just hilarious.
Yeah. And I've always loved Pixie Dixie and Mr. Jinx. I actually thought, before I even looked at the teams, I thought that Jinx would have been on the Rottens. Because I thought, when you see these three teams, Scooby-Doobies, Yogi-Yahooies, and the Really Rottens, you think, okay, well, the Really Rottens, that means all of the villain characters, all of the bad characters are going to be on the team. That's not necessarily true because Mr. Jinx is on the Yogi-Yahooies.
Yeah.
Not to say that he's like a evil super villain, but I mean, essentially, he is a villain character because he's always chasing Pixie and Dixie.
Yeah. And before we get to the villain team, I got to say this is an interesting predicament that they got themselves in because Hanna-Barbera basically didn't have villainous characters for the most part. Like, if you're watching, you know, old Yogi Bear shows or Huckleberry Hound or Quick Draw, there's really not
right.
the quote-unquote villains. So they're coming up with the format for this show. And they're doing the generation thing with the 50s characters. They're doing the generation thing with the 70s characters. Now they come to the villain part, and they really can't draw on any villains that have been in Hanna-Barbera cartoons. So it's an interesting dynamic here because the Really Rottens are basically all original characters almost.
Yeah.
You know, with a few exceptions. I guess we got to talk about it right away.
Yeah.
Dread Baron and Mumbly.
Seriously?
Obviously there were some legal, I'm guessing, issues that prevented them from using Dick Dastardly and Muttley, but we all know, based on the voice, based on the look, that Dick Dastardly and Muttley are in the form of Dread Baron and Mumbly. Like,
it's because those two characters were co-owned by Header Dash Quigley Productions.
So they
that's why.
So they couldn't use those guys, so they had to rename them. But everybody knows it's the same people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Mumbly's been used before. Like, the whole Mumbly-Muttley thing.
Mm.
I mean, they're basically the same character, but they are different characters because Mumbly showed up on Tom and Jerry Grape Ape and the Mumbly Show, etc. But it's still basically Muttley.
Yeah. I mean,
those two characters are so similar, and Dread Baron basically is just the Dick Dastardly with a new costume and a new name.
Yep.
But the only characters that they could draw on from prior shows is Mumbly and then the Dalton brothers. And the Dalton brothers is an interesting thing because they appeared in 50s and 60s in some shorts. And the thing is, though, they've never had the same names. Because in the 50s and 60s shorts, they were Dinky, Dirty, and Dastardly Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had older brothers Dangerous, Detestable, Desperate, and Despicable. Well, in this one, we have just Dastardly, Dirty, and Dinky.
Right.
So it's like not all of them. It's almost similar to the who are the characters in Penelope Pitstop?
Oh, the Anthill Mob.
The Anthill Mob. How you always have different names or different members of the Anthill Mob showing up. It seems like you always get different Dalton brothers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were given a slightly different get up and different look. And then later on, it's interesting because the movie The Good, the Bad, and the Huckleberry Hound.
Yeah.
Dinky shows up there, but now he has different brothers again because now he has Stinky, Finky, and Pinky. and he doesn't look like Dinky, he looks like Dastardly. So the Dalton brothers is a whole mix of history.
Yeah.
But I can let you go over some of the other characters.
You got Mr. and Mrs. Creepley, who Mr. Creepley, the original character, was the patriarch of the villainous monster family based on the Gruesomes, and Mr. and Mrs. J. Evil Scientist. You also have Junior Creepley, Orful Octopus, The Great Fondue, Magic Rabbit, Daisy Mayhem, Suey.
That's it.
Suey is Daisy Mayhem's patch-eyed pig.
Yeah.
Honestly,
they're kind of an interesting group.
Outside of I don't care what the copyright say. Outside of Dastardly and Muttley, that's what I'm fucking calling them. I don't give a shit. Outside of Mumbly and Red Baron, or Dread Baron, Dastardly and Muttley, those are the only two I really liked.
I like those two. I don't mind the Daltons. The rest of them just seem weird. I can see the Great Fondue. He's not bad. And Orful Octopus seems like he could be a Hanna-Barbera character. So that's fine to me. The Creepleys don't seem like they fit.
No.
And neither does the Magic Rabbit. Just looks like a freaked up Alice in Wonderland like knockoff. And Daisy Mayhem and her pig, like, I could see them if you're wanting to have some type of who would be the
maybe she's Miles's great 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 grandmother.
Yeah. No, but I could see Daisy and Suey being a counterpart to some of the 70s characters.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be Captain Caveman and the Teen Angels or Speed Buggy and them, like, I can see those two maybe. To me, it's really Magic Rabbit and the Creepleys just don't work for me. And that's the only weak spot of this whole show for me is some of the bad characters. I know they had a hard job creating a bunch of new characters, But right. It's like they obviously were not using any of the people that created the all these other great characters.
Yeah, exactly.
If they did, that would be a huge surprise to me because these just don't seem like they're made of the same mold.
Yeah. And we can't talk about this show without talking about the narrator or the one of the announcers. The
broadcaster and the announcer, basically. to me, the best part of the show.
Yeah, don't you know? Good old Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss and Mildew Wolf. Mm-hmm. You know, Snagglepuss and Mildew Wolf, they did all the interviews, they did all the announcing, the play-by-play, the commentary, and they were magnificent.
They were. Just absolutely friggin' brilliant.
Well, first of all, if you had to pick two Hanna-Barbera voices to be announcer-type people, it would be these two.
Yeah.
Like, it was just perfect. The way they played off each other was perfect. Just pure genius. I did want to say, right before we continue that conversation, I don't understand one thing about the way they came up with this. I don't understand why they couldn't use maybe some of the people from Wacky Races in coming up with the other bad characters. Like, if you already had in Wacky Races Big Gruesome and Little Gruesome,
mm-hmm.
why couldn't they have been used instead of the Creepleys?
It's probably copyrights.
And I don't think it would have been too much of a stretch to actually... I know they're not really bad characters, but I don't think it would have been too much of a stretch to use the Anthill Mob.
Right.
Or the Anthill Gang, or whatever you want to call them, in here.
Or even if you want to pull something else in from Penelope Pitstop, what's his name? Snively. The dude that was right. always wanting to steal her away.
Right. Yeah, I know who you're talking about, and I'll think of the name temporarily. But I was just trying to rack my brain, and I know, you know, there's not a lot of bad characters to choose from, but if they had those couple from Wacky Races, I just don't understand why they couldn't have used a couple of those characters. Mm-hmm. Or just some other people and made them bad. Like, they could have used the Hooded Claw.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, to me, use the Gruesomes that you've already used instead of the Creepleys. You know, I don't know. Throw, like, Winsome Witch in there. Or throw, you know, just some of these random characters in there. I'm still trying to think of the Snidely characters.
You did. His real name is Snidely, and the Hooded Claw was the alter ego.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't understand why they couldn't have maybe used a couple of those characters, but like I said, this is, to me, the only weak spot in it, and it's made up for by the use of these two announcers, which, to me, are the biggest part of the show.
Yeah. Well, they made the show. Because, I mean, really, you're rooting for... this is just kind of like Wacky Races. You're rooting for everyone else except Dick Dastardly and Motley.
Right. You know what? The Early Rotten is win.
I mean, you're rooting for Augie Doggie and Doggie Daddy and the Yogi Yahoos. You're rooting for Shaggy and Scooby and the rest of the Scooby-Doobies team. So
I do want to mention a couple other characters that do show up at some point.
Good.
Fred Flintstone, Barney Rubble, Jabberjaw, and Peter Potamus made appearances as guest announcers and judges.
That's cool.
So it was really cool to see those guys show up, and it was kind of just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So that was just a nice little touch that they even added some that weren't on some of the teams to the group.
Yeah. Now, do you think by this time, and we've already had this huge discussion on Flintstones and Jetsons, but over on GCN Wars episode 3. But
go listen to it.
Do you think that, like you said, that, you know, Fred and Barney and Peter Potamus all made like guest appearances? Do you think that any of the Jetsons characters could have made a guest appearance and it would still retain what Laugh Olympics is?
See, to me. This would have made more sense. You have the Yogi Yahooies,
right,
which is the classic characters, which are all animals. you have the 70s generation characters, the mystery characters, you know, the all the crime fighting mystery solving right. teams. I don't understand why. I know that there was probably a need for bad or villainous characters, mm-hmm. but I almost wish, and take out all the really rottens or add the human classic characters, and it would be made up of Jetsons characters and Flintstone characters, and, you know, I'm sure there was a few others that you could have thrown in there. Like, why not have a team with Fred and Barney and Bam Bam and George and, you know, I mean, you could easily get 8 or 10 Flintstones, Jetsons, and, you know, possibly some other random characters in there that would have made a cool team. Even if they only guessed it as a team, like, once or twice, I think it would have been cool to have, like, you know, that type of dynamic there. I wouldn't want to lose Dastardly and Muttley, but honestly,
well, yeah, I mean, you know, you could put, like, instead of, you know, you could keep take out the Creepleys, just remove them all together.
Right.
Put in the Gruesome Twosome in their place, like it was supposed to be, and then outside of Dastardly and Muttley, erase the rest of the team. You could put in, this would have been an amazing, amazing thing if they did this. I can't believe I just thought of this.
Uh-oh.
Put in Spacely and Cogswell on the Rottens. Force them to work together. Okay? You could put in... Oh,
well, man. Like we said, you could put in the Snively.
Yeah, you could put in the Hooded Claw. You could put in, Flintstones really didn't
put Officer Dibble in there if you wanted.
Yeah.
Or Mr. Peebles, or, you know, yeah. I mean, you could have put some more human characters in there, but, you know, I don't know. I just think it would have been cool also to see some type of team of Flintstones, Jetsons, slash, you know, whoever else you wanted to put in there as far as human characters. I just think it would have been a cool... I don't think they should have been there necessarily every episode.
Right.
But just to have them, like, once or twice be a guest team of some sort, I think just would have been really, really interesting.
Yes. So getting into the... are we done with the characters?
Yeah.
Getting into the actual show, the format essentially is the sporting competitions that the characters would be called upon to perform would often be comical and offbeat versions of Olympic sports, races, and scavenger hunts. Each segment took place in a different location around the world. The event occurred on the moon. That event occurred on the moon as a climactic ending, which followed the rocket race to the moon that was held as a previous event. Each episode was presented in format similar to Olympic television broadcast, with announcing, voiceover duties handled by an unnamed, unseen announcer character. Hosting duties and commentary were provided by Snagglepuss and Mildew Wolf from the It's the Wolf segments of Chattanooga Cats.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, then.
although there was a switch here, because Mildew Wolf used to be voiced by Paul Lind.
Yeah.
And now it was John Stevenson, both of them equally geniuses.
Right, yeah.
This is awesome. It's down to the detail that they were even wearing the traditional yellow jackets of ABC Sports. we talked about the guest appearances a little bit, and there's also
parents of the point system.
Yeah, the you know, each event you basically had 25, 15, and 10 points for first, second, and third.
Right.
And sometimes you'd have like a bonus or double points on the last event for the winner, and then they'd go through the whole episode. So you'd have like Laugh Olympics, and they'd be in like France or whatever, and they'd go through these different events, and they'd award points, and then down to the end, whoever had the most points was declared the winner and would receive the gold medal. And of course, occasionally points would be subtracted for treachery, sabotage, or just general rule breaking.
So essentially, the Rottens always had a negative score.
It seems like that happens sometimes. and, you know, there was kind of a thing where the good guy teams, the members would help each other out.
Right.
You know, whenever they got into a jam or something, but the really Rottens obviously would never do that. They would do the dirty tricks. They would cheat. And they would basically be in last place in most episodes.
Yep.
Even though sometimes they'd be, you know, kind of like Wacky Races, they'd be right about to win and something would happen. They'd make an error, or they'd get DQ'd, or they'd have points taken away. And a lot of times, though, it was kind of funny because their cheating techniques weren't actually against the rules. So they did win a few episodes. I remember hearing the announcers be like, well, there actually isn't a rule against, you know, whatever it is that they just did. Right. And then they did win one time just by sheer chance. So that's
well, you got to have them win once.
Well, they didn't do it in Wacky Races, but...
But Wacky Races, that was against the rules. I mean, setting it up, you know, having Muttley set up something to essentially drive a racer off a cliff, that's would be, you know, killing a racer is against the rules.
Nonsense.
What about the music of this one?
I mean, it's kind of like what we talked about with Dastardly and Muttley and Wacky Races. It's very essential because you have a lot of times where there's some type of chase or some type of event going on where there's not a lot of need for dialogue. What this show did differently is not only did they have the music to support that, but they had Mildew and Snaggle.
Yeah.
So they could take care of anything that was going on where the actual contestants wouldn't be talking or having no dialogue, and they could just commentate on it. And that's what made this separate for me from those other shows and made it even more enjoyable to watch was the use of those two commentators.
Oh, yeah. So much so. I got to say, it's been a week since we did the Dastardly and Muttley episode. I still have a fucking song stuck in my head. Stop the pigeon. Stop the pigeon. God.
It's Hanna-Barbera. It's good stuff.
I know. All right. So... let's get into the legacy segment. As far as some other media, there was actually a comic book based off of this. In March of 78, Marvel Comics produced a comic book series based on the cartoon. Creative staff for the comic book included Mark Evanier, Carl Gafford, Scott Shaw, Jack Manning, Owen Fitzgerald, and others. The series lasted 13 issues. A Laugh Olympics comic book was also published in Australia in 1978 by Sidney Murray Publishing. From 1980 to 1982, various Laugh Olympics stories were reprinted in Laugh Olympics annual hardback books in the United Kingdom by Fleetway.
There's an interesting thing, though.
Interesting.
Because there's also a comic book called Hanna-Barbera Presents, and it was a Superstar Olympics.
Yep.
Now, get some of the other characters that appeared in here, though. Adam Ant, along with, obviously, we still had Augie and Doggy. Barney Rubble and Betty Rubble. We still had Boo Boo Bear, but then Chopper, Cindy Bear, Dick Dastardly, Fred Flintstone, Grape A, Pokey Wolf, Huckleberry, Jabberjaw, McGilla Gorilla, Muttley, Peter Pondamus, Pixie and Dixie, Mr. Jinx, Quick Draw, Ranger Smith, Secret Squirrel, Snaggle, Snooper, and Blabber, Squiddly Diddly, Top Cat, that's a good addition there, Touche Turtle, Wally, Gator, Wilma Flintstone, and Yogi Bear. So that would have been an interesting arrangement to see how they divided up those teams, because there's no bad characters in that one.
No, not at all. And as far as some games here, we had some handheld and pillball games were released for Laugh Olympics in 78. The game featured Scooby-Doo, Captain Caveman, and Teen Angels, Blue Falcon, Yogi Bear, Boo Boo Bear, Huckleberry, Grape Ape, Mumbly, Dread Baron, Mr. Creepley, Dalton Brothers, Snagglepuss, and Mildew Wolf. In 79, Hanna-Barbera released a Laugh Olympics Old Maid card game that included Scooby-Doo, Shaggy Rogers, Dino-Mutt, Blue Falcon, Hong Kong Phooey, Yogi Bear, Boo Boo Bear, Huckleberry Hound, Grape Ape, Quick Draw, McGraw, Pixie Dixie, Yakky Doodle, Mumbly, Dread Baron, Snagglepuss, and Mildew Wolf. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Old Maid card game.
That'd be an interesting one to find. If it's still around, probably kind of expensive. You know, there's been some cultural references, like everything Hanna-Barbera. It's spoofed on Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. Everything's spoofed by Robot Chicken, so that's no surprise. Yeah. So you can see all kinds of different things in those series, as well as others. I'm sure they've shown up on some, you know, Family Guy or some other types of spoof shows as well. There has been some home media releases.
Yeah.
96, there was 4 VHS versions released, some more VHS releases over the year, but the big ones for us and people that might be interested is the DVD sets. The first 4 were released in January 2010, is Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics Volume 1, and that included quite a few different things there. Then they had a exclusive second volume with the next 4 episodes that was released by Target on the same day, Scooby's All-Star Laugh Olympics Volume 2. So there's a Volume 1 and a Volume 2 out there that you can get your hands on. Another DVD set of the series will be released supposedly this summer, containing the remaining episodes of season one in addition to four season one episodes that were already on DVD in the previous two sets. It's supposed to be some type of ultraviolet digital copy of all 12 contained episodes. So we'll be looking for more information this summer on how you watch some more Laugh Olympics.
Oh, yes. And with that, we're going to take a break, and you'll hear some commercials as well as some other Laugh Olympic stuff, and we'll be back after this.
The greatest prize in the sports world, the Laugh Olympic gold medal. Now it's back to France, where our three teams are ready to compete. And here they are, the Scooby-Doobies, the Really Rottens, and the Yogi Yahooies. Scoring is 25 for first, 15 for second, and 10 for third. Now, to the French countryside and our on-the-scene reporters.
Hi, it's your on-the-scene reporters on the scene of the first event, the rough and bumpy Tour de France bicycle race.
How velocipedic. Exciting, even. Here we are at the starting line, awaiting the start of the first across the finish line event. What's this? A Yogi gold medalist using training wheels? Surely you jest, quick draw.
Nope. Never rode a two-wheeler. Only four-leggers, and they was horses.
If you think that's odd, Snag, get a load of dynamite. Riding for the Scooby-Doobies. No wheels at all.
I knew I almost forgot something. One set of wheels coming up and out.
The racers are lining up at the start. Quick Draw for the Yogis, Dinky Dalton for the Rottens, and Dynamutt for the Scoobies. And there they go, folks. Quick Draw is pedaling for all he's worth.
That's about 2 cents, according to my wallet.
And look at Dynamutt's action, will you?
I'm a little rusty.
It's a reverse wheel-popping spinner-opper. And there
you go. You can now hear the KidCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear KidCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter KidCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code KidCast Radio when you register.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. The GeekCast Radio Network has launched Mask to Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Mask to Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one and longest running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come
good
on,
no.
What about sports?
That sounds
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's all right.
We are back, and for you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. All right, sir, final thoughts on Laugh Olympics.
I just love this. I absolutely love this series. To me, this is something. I mean, I know a lot of people will just put it in the same package of Wacky Races and this or that, and not to take anything away from those shows. But to me, this one's the superior one. This one is the combination of, you know, this smorgasbord of classic characters that we'd never really gotten done quite like this, and it's right. never been done the same. The format's cool with the Olympic setting. You're visiting different lands, different areas. You have two good teams. You have different generations represented. And then you have two kick-ass broadcast commentators.
Yeah.
Broadcasters. And to me, this is the funniest of these types of shows. It's the best done. It doesn't drag at all. It's, you know, between the music and the commentators, everything keeps going. It is a Laugh Olympics. It is a nonstop laugh fest, basically. And nobody since this has been able to find the same magic in this type of format.
Right.
It would be cool.
I mean, you know, if you're only counting animation, I will agree with that statement. But I think that the Mario Sonic Olympic video game stuff, that has been kind of cool. But that's just because it's those characters. But I will agree with you, yes. Since this, no one in animation has been able to do something like this.
It's almost like I immediately thought of this. You know the MetLife commercial that's been airing recently?
Yeah.
Like in the 5 or 6 months, you know, that has all those different characters?
Yeah.
It immediately makes me think of this. And it's like, yeah. Man, if they could make something again with all, like, the classic 80s characters or this or that, it would be awesome. But it's just like nobody has been able to do what Laugh Olympics did. And like I said with a few of these other Hanna-Barbera things, this is not that dated, and this type of thing would still sell to kids, I guarantee it.
I'm surprised that Hanna-Barbera, whether it's their on-demand service as far as, like, movies on demand where you can only buy it online from their certain website or, like, WB Shop or something like that, I'm surprised that there is not a complete series of this. I mean, we have a complete series of Dastardly and Muttley. We have a complete series of other Hanna-Barbera stuff. I'm honestly surprised that there is not a complete series DVD set for this.
And what I'm surprised at is that not only that, but that somebody else has not tried to do something similar to this since then, basically. I mean, there's been a few bad attempts and stuff like that, but with all the stuff that's being rebooted and all of the, you know, the nostalgic, you know, play to the kids of yesterday that are parents today, I'm surprised that nobody has tried to do this type of show. I know there would be a lot of legal hurdles to get over as far as which characters you could secure rights to and which ones you couldn't.
Right.
But tell me that a show that had, you know, classic characters. And the problem is that back then Hanna-Barbera had so many shows that they had a big library to choose from. And if you wanted to do it today, you're dealing with this show that's owned by this company and that show that's owned by that company, and there's not like a big overall umbrella company. But even if like Disney could have done something like this, it wouldn't be as cool. But I'm just picturing some type of Laugh Olympics where you have like Optimus Prime and Duke,
God,
and freaking Lion-O, and you know, you have like the heroes on one team, and then you have a villain team with Skeletor and Megatron and freaking Mumra and Monstar. I mean, that would be freaking awesome. You could have a sidekick team with Orko and Snarf and Copper Kid and Daniel and Matt Tracker's little bastard child.
Yes.
That's wrong, because he is a bastard child, so I should not say that. But, you know,
who
it would be
who his father is. We just don't know who his mother is.
That's true. It would just be an awesome format. Everybody would eat it up, and yeah. Somebody should do that.
Yes. All right, so there's the 30th episode of Tooncast Beyond. Thank you for joining us. There are several ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every post. We will engage you in comments, and we will argue. We will deny you your opinions, all that good stuff.
And we'll even give you kudos if you make good points.
Yes. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. Mine is TFG and Mike. What is your Twitter, sir?
Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcast or radio network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. If you have a USB headset or microphone, you can do this straight from your computer. Go to the website. On the right-hand side, there's a button that says Send Voicemail. There's a five-minute time limit, so
keep that aware of that.
We hope you enjoyed this trip back in time here on Tooncast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be returning to real time when we cover in the superhero spotlight, Iron Man Armored Adventures. For now, I am TFD1 Mike with
the one and only Optimus Solo.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.